This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson. The House passed legislation on a 339-85 vote last night to once again avoid a partial government shutdown. That bill now will move on to the Senate to be voted on by midnight tomorrow. The bill will renew funding for the Departments of Agriculture, Justice, Transportation and Housing, and Urban Development. The next major deadline coming up is March 22nd. Funding for a policy research center at NDSU could be part of that next ag appropriations bill working its way through Congress. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
NDSU Vice President for Agricultural Affairs Greg Lardy says this could be a great opportunity and resource for the diverse and changing agriculture of North Dakota and surrounding areas.
And if you look at the playing field, you know, the global climate is changing in terms of movement of agricultural goods across trade systems and so on. And so, you know, agricultural policies that address this region, and specifically as you look at North Dakota, a very diverse system of ag production, as you mentioned, but also, you know, we're a state that relies heavily on export markets. And so we need sound agricultural policies at the federal level to help our farmers and ranchers and agribusinesses compete.
Lardy also looks forward to other exciting projects at NDSU.
We're really excited. A couple weeks ago we had the big announcement with NDSU as the lead partner in receiving the National Science Foundation Engines Project here to drive, enhancements in ag technology and ag innovation. That group of core partners is actually in Washington, D.C. This week for meetings with National Science Foundation officials, and so we're just excited to get that project going, and it's going to be a huge opportunity for NDSU and the core partners to enhance ag tech within this region.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
South Dakota lawmakers passing three bills last night intended to strengthen landowner protections while maintaining a path forward for pipeline projects. The bills passed both the State House of Representatives and the Senate and will now move to Governor Kristi Noem's office, who has issued a statement indicating that she plans to sign those bills. Following the passage of those three bills, to allow pipelines to be built across South Dakota, the American Carbon Alliance released a statement congratulating South Dakota's lawmakers. Passing the first landowner's bill of rights along with needed certainty for CO2 pipelines. American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias is creating an economic environment in the state to allow carbon capture and sequestration projects such as the Summit Pipeline is essential in creating new corn demand. Diesel exhaust fluid storage is something that many farmers still don't know much about. CHS Energy Equipment Account Manager Andrew Manchester says DEF storage has some do's and don'ts.
There's a lot of different systems that you can utilize today, whether it's out of 2.5-gallon jugs, 55-gallon drums, 330 wire cage totes, and even all the way up to 6,900-gallon DEF storage. But the important thing to remember is the equipment that you are storing it in can only be stainless steel, polypropylene, or polyethylene. Anything else will contaminate the DEF product itself and start causing issues with your catalyst systems and engine systems.
Failure to store DEF properly could lead to catastrophic engine failure.
And it's not something that is warranted because it's a contaminated product or a product that's not graded out as proper DEF grade. So, yeah, it's very, very important to understand the difference from DEF grade urea to farm grade urea and understand that it's not the same. And again, the little things, the tiniest of minerals in DEF can cause massive problems in your systems.
Get the latest farm news anytime by going to rrfn.com. You can sign up for our weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter as well. And you can also download this broadcast And follow us on Facebook and X, all at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With new soybean crush facilities opening throughout the country, the supply of soybean meal and oil will be on the rise. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
The era of the soybean boom is on its way, and University of Minnesota Extension Professor Ed Ussett feels that the best bet for any turmoil that follows is for farmers to stick to the basics and what works.
The coming boom, maybe, maybe not, in the world of soybeans that I think could, not maybe not today or in the next year, but in a couple of years, could turn the markets into turmoil, and made the argument that you should, even if the markets do get more volatile, and turmoil rules stick to the basic approaches. They still work.
Ussett points to works by University of Illinois Professor Scott Irwin as a good indicator for some of the turmoil that may be on the horizon with the pending crush boom.
Got a message out there. We've got a ton of new soy crushing capacity opening up, and we can kind of measure how much that's going to increase supply. We've got an equally large amount of renewable diesel plants opening up. And then Scott is mean enough to add up the mandates and the incentives out there for the use of renewable diesel, and it doesn't quite add up. It's an impressively big number, but supply, as we're looking at it today, supply's going to outrun demand here pretty quickly, unless, you know, and this is all policy driven, who knows what happens there.
With supply potentially outweighing demand by a significant amount, concerns over facility closures is not unwarranted.
They're big players, and I think many of these plants will survive. I guess maybe even a bigger question, some of these plants that are, they're drawn up plans, but they haven't broken ground yet. Maybe they don't happen.
That was University of Minnesota Extension Professor Ed Ussett. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Bayer agronomy lead Joe Sheffers is looking into the future products during his presentation at Full Circle Ag's Ag Tech Summit yesterday. Sheffers highlighted new corn genetics coming from Bayer.
So there's a number of different things that are really in the near term that we're ramping into. We just completed our forecasting for the 2025 seed crop. And in those, in that area, we took and really ramped into more what's called VT4 Pro hybrids, and they carry that new RNAi technology for rootworm resistance, and then also the SmartStax Pro. So again, both of them carrying that new resistance that rootworm have never seen before, and it's really doing a nice job. So that's one area.
Sheffers also highlighted Bayer's short corn system.
We're continuing to work on Preceon, or the short corn system. We launched products last fall in that, and those are 104 to 117 type maturity products, so probably a bit more of a fit for Iowa, parts of Nebraska, and Illinois, but we're working that direction to get to the early maturities for up here.
Bayer holding off on its breaking apart the group for up to 3 years so new CEO Bill Anderson can focus on debt litigation, according to Reuters News Service. There's doubt whether enough is being done to revive the company's finances. Anderson said last year that he was examining options to separate, spin off, or sell businesses. The drug and farm supply company will seek to strengthen the pharmaceutical development pipeline, address litigation, reduce debt, and further pursue job cuts for now. Minnesota Agriculture and Rural Leadership class has returned from a recent trip to Panama. Marl Executive Director Brad Schlosser says the class learned about agriculture in the country and got up close with the Panama Canal.
The fact that we were able to get on the canal and we were at the Miraflores locks, we saw ships go through. One of the takeaways was concern over the amount of water, and we're specifically talking about fresh water that comes out of Lake Gutan. That's what raises the ships to the appropriate level to get them across the country. But it was really awesome to see that and to recognize that for, you know, about 110 years, we as a country were instrumental in that.
Marl aims to equip participants with leadership skills and foster relationships and networking that will last a lifetime. Applications for the next Marl class are open through March. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Precision Planting Northwest Regional Manager Brent Horner is preparing to help growers and applicators for the 2024 growing season.
And really, I break it down into a pyramid of really what we manage as priority of at the base of it being rate. And then as we get our rate right and we get that all managed, we think about environment timing of did we get it applied at the right time. Once we do that, we manage it well, we think about our droplet size of did we get the amount of coverage we needed to get the kill, to get the control. And then finally, did we overlap or did we skip?
And being ready to spray when conditions are right is important and can be tough when changing from one chemical to the next.
I don't control the environment itself and the weather, but what we can help with is managing the amount of time the sprayer is down as we change chemistries, as we move to a different chemical. Clean, rinse, day-to-day of using what we call to take our product from the booms, recirculate it back to the tank seamlessly, easily, so we're not wasting any chemical. We're getting a good prime. We're getting a good clean on that boom to make it faster and easier to transition from day to day.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we are trading higher pretty much across the board here. 10 higher Minneapolis wheat. We're 7 higher in Chicago, 11 higher Kansas City. Corn right now trading 6 to 8 cents higher. And soybeans, 8 to 12 cents higher. On the farm calendar, the 2023 CHS Ag Services Annual Meeting today. That's at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks. That begins with registration and Ag Industry Day booths at 10 o'clock. Annual meeting begins at 11, lunch at noon. And then we'll get a long-range weather forecast from Daryl Richeson. That begins at 12:45. Also, a taping of the Ag Day program beginning at 2 o'clock. The NDSU planter test stand schedule at the Steve Adams Shop in East Grand Forks today. Next week, they take the week off because of the International Sugar Beet Institute. The North Dakota Winter Show in Valley City continues. That began yesterday. That runs out through the weekend, through Sunday. Again, in Valley City, there's 3 PRCA rodeos, tractor and truck pulls, horse and pony pulls, a junior cattle show, state crop show, auctioneer contest, speakers, vendors, and more. National Farmers Union, 122nd National Convention, begins on Sunday. And runs out through the Sunday through Tuesday. It'll be at the Scottsdale Plaza Resort, Scottsdale, Arizona. Be listening for broadcasts from that. Our own Whitney Pittman will be at that one. Also have a 2024 Getting It Right in Canola production, a virtual meeting coming up on Tuesday. That begins at 8:30, runs till noon. Again, March 12th there. Also March 12th. South Dakota State University Extension's 3-day Estate Planning and Farm Succession Conference. That'll be at the SDSU Extension Watertown Regional Center in Watertown. That gets underway at 10 o'clock next Tuesday. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great Thursday. This is the Red River Farm Network.